We begin the current daf Masechet Sifah, daf Yud Alef. We begin 13 lines down from the top of the Omid. The Gemara continues the discussion with the previous daf, and that is we had a machlekes between Rosh Lakish and Rabbi Yechanan regarding the basic understanding of what happens after a zikah of Yibum is refused. And that is, there could be many brothers of the husband that passed away, and there could be many co-wives of the woman that had the chalitza done to her, which would then sever the zikah that was there to create an opportunity to do Yibum, to then marry, the levirate marriage, from the brother that passed away without any children. Now that Rosh Lakish said that the brother that does the chalitza and the woman that had chalitza done to her, only those two individuals have been demoted from the issacharis of a brother's wife, which was always there, one is not allowed to marry one's brother's wife. However, since they participated in the process of Yibum, in this case, severing that zika by doing chalitza, then the Pasuk tells us, Ashala Yivna, that someone that did not build it, instead he did chalitza and she received the chalitza, that creates now a negative prohibition of Lo Yivna, that he's not allowed to build it anymore. He's not allowed to go ahead and have the marriage now of his brother's wife. However, that's just a negative prohibition. Regarding all the other individuals, the rest of the brothers and the rest of the co-wives, they retain their original Isser Karis of Eshasach, because they didn't have that role in playing of the process of what happens to the Yibum, which is then to make it just into negative prohibition of, if you didn't build, you can't build anymore, of just a negative prohibition. Rabbi Yechanan said that, no. Everyone was part of this. As we see, any brother was able to do this Yibum or Chalitza, and any one of the wives was able to do it. They just, the brothers chose one individual to represent them in the process of Chalitza, and all the wives put one of the women up to represent them in receiving the Chalitza. But since there's just a shlichus, they're just a servant, they're just a medium for the rest, therefore it's as if everyone had been doing the chalitza and been receiving the chalitza, so everybody gets pulled down from the issacharis of Eshasach and just has a negative prohibition of Asher Layivna. Now Gemara continues with a similar machlekes, which the Gemara will tie into that machlekes. Itma we learned, Habo al Yavama. So the previous discussion was regarding someone that did chalitza to one of the yavamas. Here it's about someone that consummated the relationship with the yavama. He did yibum. Uvo echad min ha'achen al tzarasa. Now one of the other brothers says, wait a second, I wanted to do yibum. You did it first. I'm going to take one of the co-wives and I'm going to do yibum. I'm going to go ahead and create a relationship of marriage with one of the co-wives. So pligber of ach ravina. So it's machlekes. Chadam abukaris. One says the brother that, after the first brother already did Yibum, the second brother goes and now has a relationship with one of the other co-wives, there's a chiyuv of karis. Chadam Abbasin, the other one says that it's just a positive commandment that he has violated. And that's because the Pasuk tells us, it says in the singular as recorded on the previous daf, which the drush is that bayis echad hu bayna. There's only one house that's being built, but not two houses, which means to say is that the Yibum process can only be done to one of the wives. Once one of the wives is done, then the Pasuk tells you in this in the singular term of bias, which it says is beis achiv in the singular, that the one is done, then you can't go ahead and do it. So that what that means is to say, now it's a negative prohibition to not go ahead and marry a second one, to make it into two batim. But since it's a derivative from a positive terminology, which is saying that you should build your brother's house, which says in the singular, so a lav habo mechlal say is asay. We define a negative prohibition, meaning when we tell you not to do something, but the terminology in the pasuk we're saying what yes to do, and you're not doing what it says yes to do, to only build one house, instead you're building two houses. So that's saying what you're doing is wrong, which is a lav, something you shouldn't do, but since it came from a positive terminology, and you're not doing that positive, it's a violation of a positive commandment. And therefore the other one says that the other brother who's marrying the other co-wife is violating as beis achiv, where it says only one, and he's doing a second house, so that's violating only a positive command. So the Gemara explains that this machlekes over here in the Gemara between Rav Ach and Ravina is totally in the same machlekes we had with Rosh Lakish and Rabbi Yechanan. As the Gemara explains, Mandam Bukaris Kresh Lakish, the one that said that the other brother that's doing, which is not Yibum, but he wants to do that same procedure of marrying his brother's wife that died without any children, that he's going to get Karis, is like Rosh Lakish, because Rosh Lakish said that the one who's doing the one doing Chalitza in their discussion, which in this case is the one who's doing the Yibum, is not the Shliach of the brothers. Therefore, only the brother that does Yibum, He has the positive commandment of Bayis Echad. You're only allowed to build one house. You married one of the wives, that's it. You can't marry two batim. But the brothers, they retain their original Isser Eishes Ach. If the other brother now goes and marries the co-wife, he's not building a second house. It would be his first one. His other brother went first and built one, and I'm going to be building one. So therefore, if you're going to be doing that, you're not violating Bayis Echad. So what violation are you? You're violating the old Issa of Eishes Ach. Because you never entered the area of the Zika, because only the one who does the Chalitza or the Yibam is the one that's creating either the severance or the building of the one house. So he who builds one house cannot build a second house. But the other brothers, they have nothing to do with this positive commandment of not building a second house. They were just removed from the Zika. So then they retain their old Isra Eshasach. That's why you get cars. The other Amor, who he said that it's only a violation of a positive commandment, he holds like Rabbi Yechonon, who Rabbi Yechonon said, no, everyone's doing everything. The brother is just a representative of the other brothers. And therefore, just like the brother who did the Yibam to one of the wives will have just a violation of a positive commandment on the tzar, on the co-wife, so the other brothers also share that same demotion from the Chiv Karis to just a violation of a positive commandment. That finishes up the discussion the Gemara had up until now. Now the Gemara goes and introduces a new topic related to the discussion of our Mishnah, which is the concept of, again, that an erva, which was the 15 women we discussed in Daf Beis, will be patris not only themselves, but sarasein, but sarasein, min achalitza, min ayibim. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Merav, he says, saras saita asura. The tzara, the co-wife of a saita, for example, if let's say someone was married to two wives, two women, and one of the women had an illicit relationship when she was still married to the husband, and there were witnesses that testified that she was mezana. That means to say that she's an adulterous woman. Then the husband died without any children. So in that, Rav is saying that the woman that was the saita, that had an affair, and the co-wife, they're both exempt even from chalitza. Now what's the reason? So the Gemara says, tumak sivba. The Pasuk says regarding the woman that had an illicit relationship, it says in Bamidbar Hei, it says, Vinistra, she secluded herself with another man, Vinitma, and she became impure. Now the term Tuma is Karayis, is like the Ervis that we mentioned on the 15 women on Daf Beis, as it says there in Vayikra Yitches, Altitama Buchalela. Pasuk warns regarding these Arayis, do not make yourself richly impure with these women. And therefore, Saita, that's called Tamei Oso, so that shares the same definition as the erva, and therefore her tzara will also be exempt from a chalitza and menayib. So that the Gemara asks, Masar Rav Chizda, he asks from a Mishnah of Peizayinim at Beis. Where there the Mishnah is discussing a woman that her husband goes overseas. Then people come and tell her, your husband died. So her husband died, she goes and marries another man. Then, after she's married, guess who comes? Her husband's there, he's still alive. So the Mishnah says, halacha is teitzei mizeh umizeh. She cannot stay married to her second husband, neither can she stay married to her first husband. The Mishnah tells us now, if both of those men died, her first husband and her what she thought was her second husband, the Mishnah says that achiv shel zeh, the brothers, because now each one died without any children, so the brothers of the first husband and the brother of the second husband are chaltzim lebeyamin. They do chalitza, but they don't do yibim. That's the opinion of the Tanakam. Now that is where our Gemara continues quoting from there, that Reb Shimon Eimer, he argues, he says, "Bi asa oy chalitzasa mi achiv shel rishon." Either the yibum or the chalitza of the brothers of the first one, meaning from her original husband who went overseas, is peiteres sarasa, will exempt her co-wives. What that means is because Reb Shimon holds, she's like all other women regarding the mitzvah of yibum. And the reason is because the Rabbanan did not penalize regarding her, the mitzvah of Yibam. Because the reason why is that she is permitted because she is in the category of what's called Anusa. Just like if a woman was married and then someone violated her, she's not forbidden to her husband, she'd be like a regular wife, and hence if her husband died without any children, then of course you could do Yibam to her and to her tzaras. This woman thought her husband was dead. And therefore when she goes and has a relationship with another man in the form of marriage, that's in a way an einus. She didn't want to do something forbidden. Now, one thing that we see from it, that's the opinion of Reb Shimon. So therefore, he says no. She's like a regular married woman. The second husband was like an einus, where she was having a relationship against her will in the sense of violation of halacha. She didn't want that. She thought her husband was dead. And therefore, she's like still married with the first husband. Whatever was going on with the second husband was almost was something that of a relationship against her will in the halachic sense. And therefore, she's married. The brothers of the first husband, they could do yibim, chalitza, it's all regular. However, one thing the Gemara Rav Chizda is asking from is that you see that if a woman has a relationship with another man when she's still married to her husband, that her tsara, her co-wife, is permitted for yibim. And that is, even the Rabban who argue in Rav Shimon, they only argue regarding the woman herself who had this other relationship with this second husband, is that she has to have chalitza dantar. But regarding the tsara, they agree that they can have, they could be yibim or chalitza from the brothers of the first husband. So what you see is not like Rav. You see that this woman that had a relationship with another man will not poiter her tsara as a tsaras of erva. So how could Rav say that a tsaras saita is a sura when here we have essentially the same thing where a woman went, clearly we see she had a relationship with another man, and yet still we consider it that you could do chalitza and yibim, according to everybody, even according to Rabbanan, with her tsara. So Rav would respond to the question, says, wait a second. So what was I talking about? A biblical saita, meaning she had an illicit relationship. Such a woman went straight out, she's married, she knows she has a husband, and she goes and she still has an immoral relationship with another man. Now that is where the Torah says she's forbidden, and moreover, the Torah equates her like an erva, because it says the lashon of tuma, as Rav had pointed out. Therefore, since she's like an erva, she's going to be paid to her tzara, just like any erva. Fat amritli saita drabbanan, and you're coming to me asking me a question from the Mishnah Pei Zayin, from a rabbinic saita? In other words, that woman, biblically, is permitted because she got married when one, as you only need, in such a case, one witness to say he was overseas, he saw the husband was killed in an accident, comes back and says he's dead. And therefore, you're allowed to go ahead and marry another man. And essentially, in halacha, she's considered an anusa, meaning it was like coerced for her to have this unfaithful relationship, again because she thought he was dead, but the Torah permits it. Because the Torah says, v'hilo nitfasa, if a woman wasn't forced, wasn't coerced, and she has a relationship with another man, then she's forbidden. But if she's nitfasa, in other words, if it was something that she didn't want to violate halacha, then she's still permitted to her original husband. Now, you're right. The Rabbanan were geyser that to say that in this case, what happens is if the husband ends up coming back and he's still alive, then we penalize her and we say, look, you can't stay married to him, you can't stay married to him. But that's not because she's a biblical saita, because she had an immoral relationship, that she was specifically, explicitly going and having an illicit relationship. The Rabbanan only penalized her so that she should be careful to really make sure that her husband's really dead. So we said, just be careful, you can go ahead and get married, but you better check very well, because if he's still alive, you're not going to be married to him or to the new husband. Now, but one thing you see is that she's not an erva. Biblically, she's like a regular wife married to her husband. So of course there I agree that the tzara will be able to be chayletzis or misyabemis. But what are you asking of me? That I'm saying she's paiteris and that you can't do yibum or chalitza, not to the tzara, not to the erva, not to the saita herself, or not to the co-wives, because there we're talking about a full-fledged illicit relationship. So that was what Rav had responded. So the Gemara asked, the dekaarila, my kaarila. So the one that asked the question, what was he asking? In other words, Rav, as he said, was only talking about a biblical saita where the pasuk calls her tame. But the one who's asking the question from the Mishnah Pei Zayin, that's not a biblical saita that would be considered as the pasuk terms of tame, to say that she's like an erva to be paiter tsarasein mechalitza v'yibum. She's a regular woman. The only reason why he penalizes is because you want her to be careful. But of course her tsara is not going to be exempting. And of course you can do chalitza to the or yibim to the tsara. So the Gemara says, Ksavra, the one who had asked the question, he thought, you're right, I knew that Rav was talking about a biblical saita. And I'm talking about just like a rabbinic type of a saita, which is that she's not really the unfaithful wife. It's just that circumstances made that happen because she thought he was really dead. But he thought that called the Tokan Rabbanan Ke'inda Raisa Tokan. There's a Talmudic dictum that says that whatever the Rabbanan institute, they always do it in the same form as the biblical counterpart. Now, therefore, he had thought, the questioner was saying that if a Saita Deiraisa is like you, Rav, said, that her and her co-wife are forbidden, so therefore the Rabbanan should have done the same thing to this tzara of the rabbinic saita, at least from Yibum, to say that we require chalitza and not to do Yibum, for sure not, because at least that much we should consider her like the saita deraisa. And yet we see that from Reb Shimon and even the Rabban agree regarding the tzara that you could do not only chalitza but even Yibum. And that's what the questioner was saying, and that Rav answered that no, you can't compare the two. That's the Rabbanan, and that's the Raisa, and the Pasuk only used the term Tamei by the Saita Dairaisa, by the one who really went and had an unfaithful relationship, knowing that her husband is back at home. That's when she's like an Erva, because that's what the term Tamei is, we find by Erva, and then you'll be pointed, sort of saying, Menachalitza Menayim. And the Gemara continues to ask. Mas Rav Asher asked a different question to Rav from a Mishnah Masech de Saita. There the Mishnah is talking about someone that did kinui for his wife. Now, kinui, there's two elements in creating the biblical story of a saita. A saita is the suspected adulterous woman, which is that when the husband warns his wife, which is called kinui. Then, after that, he warned her, he told her, altistri mishplena, do me a favor, don't seclude yourself with this man. And then, if she secludes herself with that man, then that's where the halachas of saita begin. So on there, the Mishnah tells us that after he warned his wife not to seclude herself, she went and she secluded herself with that man that her husband warned not to seclude herself with. Moreover, she spent enough time in seclusion with him that would allow for an immoral relationship to take place. So that the Mishnah says, asur labesa, so she's forbidden to her house, meaning to her husband, because maybe she was mazana, that she had an illicit relationship, and because there's what's called raglayim ladavar. It definitely seems like something had happened because her husband warned her, and there's obviously something going on, and she secluded, and she spent that much time over there. Now, so therefore the Mishnah tells us that not only is she forbidden to her husband now, but if she was a kehenes, then she's va'asur lecha b'truma. She's forbidden to eat truma anymore. As the Gemara learns in Masechta Saita, Daf Chof Ches Amud Aleph, it says three times nitma, which therefore it comes to teach, echad labal, one is that she's forbidden to the husband, echad labal, one, she's forbidden to the man that she had an illicit relationship with, and one is that now she's forbidden for truma anymore, even though she was a kehenes, allowed to partake from truma, once she defiled herself, she can't have truma anymore. Now the Mishnah continues and says, v'imeis, now if her husband, This is the woman that was a saita. If her husband died and without any children, so the Mishnah there says, Chaletzes, the brothers of that man do chalitza to her, and they don't do yibum with her. Now, the Gemara in the first paragraph of Masechta the Saita explains the reason for that. But one thing we see is that you do chalitza to the saita, which is kasha to Rav, because Rav said, not only is the saita exempt from chalitza and yibum, but even the tzara of a saita. And yet here we see that the Saita were doing chalitza too. So that the Gemara says, Amachal Rav, Rav would tell you, Amin lecha anos Saita vade. What are you talking about? I'm talking about a definite Saita. In other words, witnesses came and said, we saw this woman having an immoral relationship with this man, even though she's married to this other man. And therefore, that's where the Pasuk says the term of Tamei. And says, then if you're Tamei, then you're like an Erva, and then you'll exempt your tzaras from chalitza meyim. You're telling me the parasha of the doubtful saita, which is that the suspected adulteress, there were no witnesses that said an affair took place. They just know that the husband warned not to seclude, she secluded, and she was there for the amount of time that something could have taken place. So then is when we say that it says three times tamei, and then we're going to say that she's asur labal, asur labayil, but who said anything about exempting like an erva the tzara? No one ever says that she's like the Saita Vadai. But another Gemara asks, what do you mean? Umayishna Saita Vadai, why is Rav saying that Saita Vadai, a definite Saita, meaning a woman that they have witnesses saying they saw her having an illicit relationship? Mishum Nechsev Batuma, because it says the term Tameh, as we said, which is the same term used by Nerva. Well, Saita Safik Namitum Eksivba. By a doubtful Saita, which is this scenario that we're talking about, it also says the terminology of Tumah. The time like learn the Braisa. Rabbi Yisib ben Kippur Oimim Mishum Mirbalaza. He says, "Hamachzik gurishasai." If someone remarries the woman that he divorced, min hanisun, and that is, she had already married another man, then that second husband died or divorced her. So on that, Rabbi Elazar says, "Asura." Then she's forbidden to go back to her first husband. But if it's min ha'erisin, if she only got engaged after this husband divorced her, she got engaged to another man, and then that man died, then mutaris. Then she permitted to go back in marriage to her first husband. And the reason is, Mishum Shinemam, because it says the Pasuk in Devarim, It says in Devarim Chav Dalet Dalet, it says, La yuchol ba'ala harishon, the first husband cannot, asher shulcho lashub lekachto, that sent her away to go back and take her lias leila isha, that she should be a wife for him. And that is, as the pasuk says, achri asher hu tamah, after that she became defiled. What that means is that she already had a relationship in a type of intimate relationship with another man. Because that's what the term hu tamah, what do you mean she became tamah? Meaning, because she was nivala to somebody else, then she cannot go back to the first husband. But if she only got engaged, where then you are not allowed to have an intimate relationship, then she can still go back to the first husband. Because you see, the isser of machzor grushasa is only if not just engaged to the second husband, but married and that she had an intimate relationship. The chachamim, they argue, they say, achazu v'achazu asura. Whether she got married to him, the second husband, or even just got engaged, she's still forbidden to her first husband. And that's because it says in the pasuk over there, it says regarding when someone divorces and then v'haisa lish acha, she goes and marries another man. The term haisa, havaya, connotes kiddushin. As the Gemara says in many places, that means to say that there was an engagement. Now, and it says, la yuchel ba'la harishna shashocha, that the first husband that sent her away cannot go back and take her. So we see that even just with v'haisa, which is just kiddushin, which is just erisin, the engagement already says it's forbidden for the first husband to take her back. So elamani mikam achrei hu tamah. But what do I do with what Rebbe Laza had proved his point, that it's only after that she became tamay, meaning that she was intimate with the second husband? That the chacham say that's coming to teach a different halacha. That's l'rabbis seita shenistra. That comes to include a seita, a woman that's suspected of adultery because she concealed herself with another man. That is what the pasuk is saying, that that's a different halacha that's being alluded to in that pasuk, that then also the husband cannot take her back. And that is what the pasuk is coming to say. Now, one thing the Gemara is asking from is that you see from there that from the Chacham who say that a woman that was nistra, saita, that's nistra, which is the suffix saita, she was just concealed herself with that man, but she didn't, we don't know for sure, so that's saita suffix, and yet the Chacham say that that is the term, achri hatama, is referring to that. So you see that the term tuma is regarding a suffix saita. So therefore, what was Rav answering? What are you telling me, saita suffix? I'm talking about saita vadai. You write saita suffix. There's a halacha of chalitza, and it's not totally exempt because I'm talking about saita vadai, and that will totally exempt it. Why? What's the difference? Because saita vadai says tuma. Here also says tuma. So the Gemara answers no. Umay nistra. What's this term that the Chachamim say that achri hu tamo, where it says the term tuma, is coming to include? Doesn't mean that she was just secluded. It means nivala. It means that there are witnesses that say not just that she was secluded, that they saw she was being intimate with another man, which that's the saita vaday. Now, so v'amai karla nistra, so why did the Chacham and the Braisa use the term that she was hidden with the man, concealed, and not use the term which would tell me the definite saita, which is nivala? It's called lishmal yinokat. Chacham and Chazal like using pure, clean type of terminology, not to be explicit, and therefore they said the lashon of nistra, but essentially it really means nivela, and therefore it's not a question on Rav, because there it's talking about seita vade, what's included in achri hatama. But the Gemara asks on that, nivela? Are you telling me the Chacham are saying from the word achri hu tama, that's alluded to in the parasha of not taking back, the first husband shouldn't take it back? It's not just talking about the machzor grushasa, it's talking about neither can you take back the wife that had an illicit relationship. That's talking about nivela. But tuma behedik sevba, as we said mentioned before, there it says explicitly tuma already somewhere else in the Torah regarding a saita vaday, where it says v'nistra v'hinitma, if she concealed and she became tame, which there the context of the pasuk is tuma saita vaday. So we see it's already called the lashon of tuma. Why would we need this pasuk of achri hatama to come to refer again to say that a saita vaday has the definition of tuma? I think my answer is that's not a difficulty, because that's lemekim alo balav. Although the other pasuk in a positive way refers to the Seita Vaday as a Tuma, he was saying in a negative way of that not only is there an essay, there's a lois essay, a negative prohibition saying that one is not allowed to take back his wife to have an illicit relationship. And therefore, again, the Gemara has resolved the question that it asked on Rav, because there was talking about a Seita Suffolk, which there is no reference of Tuma to, because although the Chacham used the term of Nistra, it really means Nivala, and that's where it says Hutama. Now, why does that say twice? Because one's talking about to add an also that is a negative prohibition for taking back the wife that had a definite illicit relationship. Now, but one thing the Gemara makes a diuk from this from this braisa that we introduced, comes out that Rabbi Yosi ben Kippur, who he defined that whole pasuk by machzir gerushasa, by the prohibition of taking back a divorced wife, and that is because he said that the term achrei hutamo is not like the Chacham had said, a reference to a seita vadai that was nivola, but rather that qualifies the halach of machzir gerushasa, to take back your divorced wife is not enough for just being engaged. You have to have that she was intimate, achrei hutamo. So then comes out that according to him, lav besaita, a negative prohibition for a wife that was mezana when she was still married to her husband, Leslie. Obviously, he doesn't have a negative prohibition. And vafila zanoi nami, even if she was mezana, there is not going to be any loisase because he doesn't have a reference for that like the Chacham do. Chacham have achor tama, which comes to tell you a loisase to stay married to the wife that was illicit. And he doesn't have there because he uses it for a qualification, halacha machzik rishase. So I think I'm going to ask my time, what's the reason of Rabbi Yosi ben Kippur's opinion that he learns it in the qualification of Machzik Gerushasa, and that he doesn't have a negative prohibition to take back the wife that had an illicit relationship? So the Gemara answers, because Havaya Ve'ishas Ksivba, he learns up the parasha over there in the prohibition of taking back this woman, which there's definitely in that parasha is talking about this woman as in the one that you had divorced already. But there could be an allusion to another woman that was illicit, as the Chacham learn up, which that's how they define Achur Tamah. Rabbi Yosi ben Kippur says you cannot say that. Because in those psukim over there, in Devarim Chav Dalet, regarding the woman that's forbidden to her husband, as one can see clearly from the parasha, is saying that the husband cannot take her back. Who are we talking about? It's talking about a woman that had Havaya, that was engaged or married to another man, because the pasuk there says, V'hoyisalish Acher, that then she went to another man. Now, going in the term of Vahaisa, Havaya, always connotes Kedushin. There was an Ishus, there was a marriage there. As it says in the Pasuk, Oy ki yomese isha achren, or if the second husband dies, then lo yuchel ba'al harishon. Then her first husband cannot, meaning once she gets married to someone else through Kedushin and Ishus, for example, if he died, or meaning in other words, how'd she get married and the first husband is still alive, where the first husband divorced her, then we say that the first husband is lo yuchel, then he cannot go ahead and take her back. But if she was mezana under him, meaning if she went and had an illicit relationship, she wasn't v'hoyis lish acher, she didn't have havai and kedushin with another man, she had an illicit relationship. In such a case, there's no halacha of lo yuchel by lo harishon lo shul lekachta, because if that's only going in the context of the psukim over there, where it's v'hoyis lish acher, then we say there's a prohibition for him to take her back. But therefore, by the case of even a seita vadeh, where we have witnesses that said she was illicit relation with another man, that's not going to make a difference, because the pasuk there is clearly not talking about, like the Chacham say, according to Rabbi Yosi ben Kippur at least, that of having an illicit relationship to say achor tamah is a reference to them. Rather, it's only saying you cannot take back a woman that had a relationship with another man in the context of marriage. That's v'hoyis lish acher. But if it wasn't in the context of marriage, it was out of wedlock, it was an illicit relationship when she was still married to the first husband, then that's something that would be permitted to stay with that woman. Now the Gemara brings a related discussion. So we spoke about the prohibition of remarrying the woman that you divorced. Now, the case that they're discussing right now is she got married to someone else. Here's Mishnah. So everybody agrees once she gets married, so there's a problem. Then Umeis. Then this person who violated the halacha of Machzik Rishasai remarried her anyway, even though she was married to another man. Then he dies without any children. So the question that's being posed by Rabbi Yehuda from Rav Sheisha is Tzarasa Mahu. What's halacha with her co-wife regarding if there could be Yibim done with the Tzara of a Machzik Rishasai? So the Gemara explains. So he said to him, Aliba de Rabbi Yosi ben Kippur loy tibaylach. So we just had this braisa that we discussed regarding halacha machzik rishasai. So he said, you definitely cannot ask your question regarding Rabbi Yosi ben Kippur, because kiven de amir Rabbi Yosi ben Kippur tumba b'machzik rishasai hu dechsiva. Since Rabbi Yosi ben Kippur, he says that the term of achrei hu tama is a qualification of machzik rishasai, but one thing we see is that means the term achrei hu tama is going in machzik rishasai. So then you definitely cannot have your question over there, because if it says Tuma by Machzik Rishasai, just like we said by Rav, who said that a Tzara Saita is going to be exempt from Yibim Chalitza, because by Saita it says Tuma, and by Arayas it says Tuma, so it has the same qualification, same halacha. So here also by Machzik Rishasai, where it says Tuma, so Tzara Saka Maisa. So the co-wife will be the same, meaning she has the halacha like an erva because it says tumah, and therefore, just like an erva exempts the tzara, so too will be the tzara of the machzik rishasa. However, now don't ask ve'im mishum nichsiv ba. But if you're going to say, however, why would I not ask it regarding Rabbi Yisrael and Kippur? But it says regarding the machzik rishasa, it says toyevahi, that it's an abomination. Now it says she's an abomination, toyevahi, which sounds like that's always the word he is an exclusion. It's a mirt, it's diminishing, meaning to say the woman that was remarried after she was married to someone else, she's an abomination, but not her tzara, not her co-wife. And therefore, that maybe we should ask the question according to Rabbi Yisrael Kippur, that maybe you could do Yibam and have a marriage with the tzara of the machzik rishasa, because only one that's abomination, that's like an erva, that's tame, is the erva, again, not a real erva, but the machzik rishasa, who's called tame. Because it says he, only her. What are we excluding? Maybe we're excluding the tzara, that she's not a te'eva, and you could do Yibam tar. On that, he answers that, he tells him that no. Rav Sheshet says to Rav Yehuda, you could expound something else from the exclusion of te'evahi. It's coming to exclude her children, meaning, he te'eva ve'im b'neha te'eva. She's an abomination, because she was remarried after she was married to someone else, but her children are not. In other words, her daughter that she has from this relationship is not invalid for kahuna. She's not considered te'eva. Hatzarasa te'eva, but her co-wife is considered an abomination, because since the machzik rishasa is defined as hutama, and tumet says by arayis, and just like arayis is paita tzara saying, so too the machzik rishasa will be paita tzara. So that definitely cannot ask you a question. But one thing, Rav Sheshet says, Rav Yehuda, ki tipoy lach aliv de rabbanan, your question is valid according to the rabbanan. Now, what would be the question? L'chayre, she's like a regular woman, because the Rabbanan do not define Acher Hutama on the Machzik Rishasai. So, yes, if the husband was married to his Machzik Rishasai and to another co-wife, that woman is not an Erva, so she would not exempt her Tzara. So what's the question? Why would you think you cannot do Yibum to the Tzara? So on that, he says no. The question would be, because Avagav de Amr Rabbanan Tuma B'Saita Hudachsev, even the Rabbanan say that the term of Acher Hutama was not to Mamach's Grishas. It was a reference to a Saita Vade. And therefore, so why would we entertain to say that she is like an Erva of Tumo to say that she will exempt her Tzara? Because you could still say that Eim Mekriyetim De Peshute. A Pasig never loses, and this is a Talmudic halacha, a dictum that's used many times, a verse in the Torah, you cannot remove it. Yes, you can make drushes, you can expound certain things, but it doesn't get removed from the literal translation. And therefore, if you read the Pasig, the context of the pasuk is talking about being a machzik rishasai, and they use the word acher hutama. So therefore, it's still referencing the machzik rishasai, although with darshaning it regarding the saita, and therefore we would say that she is like the term tuma and like an erva to exempt her tzar. Idilma kimin de acher yakor, or maybe not. Maybe say that once we uprooted the understanding of the term acher hutama from referencing to the machzik rishasai, and instead we darshan it for the Saita Vaday, maybe the term Tuma would not tell us that she's like an erva to exempt her tzara. So that was the question that Rabbi Yehuda had from Rav Sheshet. Now, Ikudamri, there are those that have a different version. Alibad Rabbanan like Tibarachlach. To the contrary, what Rav Sheshet told Rabbi Yehuda was, look, you definitely cannot ask a question according to the Rabbanan, the reverse of what the first version had. Because given this Akiyakar, once we uprooted the term Tuma from going on Machzik Rishasai, which is what the literal translation is, and we said it's Tumat Seita Vaday, so it's not going on Machzik Rishasai, and of course she's not going to exempt her Tzara for Shona from Chalitza, because she's not an Erva that has a Chiyav of Karas. Kiti Bayalach, Alibad Rabbi Yisrael Kippur. Your whole question would be only according to Rabbi Yisrael Kippur. My, what would be the question? Avagav Dom Rabbi Yisrael Kippur, Tuma B'Machzik Rishasai Hudachsiv, because although Rabbi Yisrael Kippur says that the term Hutamah is not going on the it's not going on the site of Ade, it's actually going on what the Pasuk is told by the Machzik Rishasai. So therefore, what I mean, it would seem clearly according to him that she would exempt her tzara from Yibam Chalitza. Maybe not. Because Miyat Rachmana hi Toyeva, the Pasuk says Toyeva hi, which means to say, but Ve'in Tzarasa Toyeva, maybe we're going to expound that exclusion of saying that no, the pasuk is coming to tell you, even though it says Tuma by her, by the Machzik Rishasai, but it's saying that only she's an abomination, not her co-wife, and therefore maybe she does not exempt her co-wife. Or maybe he teva im b'neo teva, or maybe not. Maybe the exclusion of he teva is only that her daughter is not a teva. Hatzaresa teva, but maybe her co-wife is an abomination, and therefore she is going to be exempt from the Yibam and Chalitza, and that was the question we have, according to Rabbi Yisrael Kippur, what is the halacha by the tzara of a machzik gerush shasa. So Amalei, so he responded to me, says, Tinisua, it's a Mishnah on Daf Memdal Amud Aleph. Where there the Mishnah is talking about, if someone has two Yevamis that fall to him from one brother, you have two women. Now, the Bia, or the Chalitza, of one of them, will exempt the Tzara. There's a classical halacha of Yibam, where it's two brothers, one brother dies, he has two wives, two Yevamis, and then you get to choose. You could do either Yibam or Chalitza, and you choose one of them. So the Mishnah says over there as follows. Hoysa'achas kesheira va'achas besuli. If one of them was kosher, and one of them was pasul. So that's the case. So the Mishnah says, Imhoye Chalitza, so therefore, if it's going to be doing Chalitza, so then Chalitza besula. She's pasul already anyway, so you go ahead and you do Chalitza to her. But if you're going to do Yim to consummate relationship, then Miyam l'ksher, then you do Yim to the one that's kosher. So the question is, my ksher, my besula. What does the Mishnah over there mean when it says one is kosher and one is pasul? So ilim kasheira kasheira la'alma, if you would entertain to say that when it means kasheira, means say that she's someone that's has a perfect type of halacha regarding marriage, meaning that she's miyuchesed, she has lineage, and she's kasher even to marry to the kahanim, and psula psula alma, and someone that's not so kosher, meaning that she's puzzled to the world, meaning, for example, if she was a grusha or a chalutza from another husband, and therefore she's not kosher to anybody, because then by being divorced, she's puzzled to the kahanim. And that's what it's saying, that, okay, so look, if you're going to have a relationship with one of them, so then you could do it to the kshera. But if you're going to do chalitza anyway, you're divorcing her, then do it to the one that's divorced already, because she's anyways not kosher for kuhuna. So divorce her again in the form of chalitza. But don't do it to the one that's kshera, because by doing chalitza, you're going to be invalidating her from the kuhuna. If that's what the Mishnah means, but that's difficult. Because since for him, a divorced woman is fit, he's Yisrael, so my nafkalemina. What does it make a difference to him which one he does chalitza to, whichever one he does yibim to, he could pick whichever one he wants to. What's the difference to him if by doing chalitza to the ksher one, she won't be able to marry Kohen? Who cares? Based on the Yisrael level, what he's doing to her is nothing. Regular Yisrael, non-Kohen, could marry a chalitza. So elalav, so must be what the pshat is. Ksher ksher lei. When we're talking about kosher, means someone that's kosher to him. Psula means psula lei, that she's invalid for him, but she could be kosher for the entire world. Umayniu, what would that case be? It would be machzik gerushasai. If his brother went and remarried the woman that he had divorced, who had married another man, and then he had remarried her. Now, he dies without any children, and he has another wife, and then he dies. So the halacha is that the marriage of his gerusha invalidates the other one to say that none of them are fit for the brother. What you see from there is that because, as we said, that there's tumah, like an erva, by the machzik rishasa. So that is why I would say that this ksherik sherile and psula psula, kashrim would say she's a regular woman, he could do yibum, and psula would mean to say that he can't, that she's invalid, because she is like an erva. It says tumah by the machzik rishasa. Now, v'ktani, and still it teaches over there, v'imhoye miyabim, miyam l'ksherah. The Mishnah says that if he's going to do yibum, he does yibum to the ksherah. Now, therefore, we see from the Mishnah that even though it says tumah by this machzik gerushasai, which that's the psula lei, she's invalid to him, but there's two wives, there's a ksherah lei. And it says that if you want to do yibum, you could do yibum to the ksherah, meaning to the tzara. So you see that the tzara is considered valid to have yibum done with her. And that is what we have to say is that it says he toyeva is because he toyeva was excluding tsarasa. The tsarasa is not toyeva, as Rashi explains. Because if what the Mishnah was excluding by saying there's ksher in the psula, that psula would mean other chivalavin like a malakan gadol gushlekain hedjet. What would the chiddush be saying? It must be talking about a case of machzik rishase, and we're saying that she's puzzled to you, and yet in spite of that, that she is tummy like an erva, you could do yibum to the tzara. So that resolves the question. It says explicitly in that Mishnah of Memdalam and Beis that the tzara of machzik rishase, one could do yibum to. Nothing more rejects that. Loi, it's not a raya. Loi lam ksherik ksher la'ama. Truthfully, I can tell you, it's not too much if it's kosher to him or pasul to him to say that there's two wives. One was pasul to him as machzik rishase, and the other one was kosher to him because she was just the tzara of the machzik rishase, and you could do yibum to her. No, don't prove from there. Actually, we're talking about if she's kosher to the world, meaning that she's never was divorced, and therefore she could marry Ibn Kahanam. And Basula, Basula Alma, when we say she's possible, means to say she's possible to other people, not to the Yavam. She's possible, let's say, to Kahanam, because she was once divorced before, or was already Chalitz before. Now, Vidika Amrit, now this that you asked on that interpretation of the Mishnah. Kivin de l'dei chazia mainafke lamina. What do you mean? Since she's fit for him, either one is fit for him to do Yimor Chalitza, so why would we make a difference in Halacha to him and to say that, so fine, if you're doing Chalitza due to the Pasul and you're doing Yim due to the Ksher, why? He could choose whichever one he wants to. Nothing more says, that's not a question. That's Mishum de Rabbi Yosef. Now, Rabbi Yosef, like Rabbi Yosef had said, that Kan Shana Rebbe, here is where, in this Mishnah on Memdalam and Alv, is where Rebbe taught us regarding when he said that you have to do Chalitza. If you're doing Chalitza, if you're severing it anyway, you're not consummating the relationship, do it to the one that's Pasul. He taught us the following ethical, moral lesson. L'yishpach odem mei bayre. A person should not spill out the water from his pit, even though he doesn't need that water. V'chem tzrichim lahem. And if others need the water to drink, don't just waste it and spill it out. So you're not drinking it, you don't need it, fine, but leave it for others who could drink it. What that means, what Rav Yosef was referring to, was like this case of the Mishnah Memdalam and Alf, that since you could do Chalitza to the woman that's anyways a divorcee, that's already pasul, and then exempt the woman that's still kosher, that was never yet divorced. So that's what Rebbe's telling you, don't do Chalitza to the Ksheira, because you're going to then be invalidating her for Kahuna. And therefore, that's like spilling out your water that you don't need because you're anyways divorcing either one. It doesn't make a difference to you. Don't do it to the Ksher because you're taking away an opportunity for another wife from the Kan who cannot marry a divorcee. And that was this halacha of Rav Yosef recording over here is mentioned over there in that Gemara in Memdalam and Alf, which is going on that Mishnah over there. And therefore, there's no raya because it's not talking about pasul loy, which is machzik grishasi, and ksher loy, which is the tzara. So mat pasul liyama and ksher liyama, and therefore if you're doing chalitza, do it to the one that anyway is already pasul to the kanam. If you're doing yibam, so then fine, you could even do the ksher. We're not going to tell you which one to choose, but it's a different halacha, nothing to do with the question we had regarding the tzara of a machzik grishasi. So the Gemara continues trying to bring a raya. Toshma, we learn the brisa. Hamachzik grishasi mishanisis. If someone remarries the woman he divorced from after she was married to another man, so the brisa says he betzarasa chilatzas. You have to do chalitza. If let's say that man that had remarried his divorcee dies without any children, so the brother has to do chalitza to this machzik grishasli and to her tzar. So first of all, the question is: hivitzarasa soker daitach? Can you entertain that you have to do chalitza to both of them? Why we do chalitza to both of them? You never do chalitza to more than one woman. Ela ema, rather you have to fix the brisa and say it means ahi oitzarasa, either her or her tzar. But one thing you see from here, if that's the way we have to amend it, that obviously it's also to do yibum to the tzara. And therefore we should resolve the question that you cannot do yibum to the tzara of a machzik rishasi. Another Gemara says no. The lav terutzik kimatatzula, didn't you have to amend this brisa because the words were obviously mistaken? So taratzachi, then you could already amend it and say that's not a raya. You could say, hi chaylatzes, you have to do chalitza to either the machzik rishasi, or tzarasa, but regard to the tzara, that you can do either chalitza or yibam, and therefore it's not resolved the question, because once you're amending it, you could already amend that it was only the tzara, it was only the he that's chalitzes, but oi tzarasa, then oi tzarasa is chalitzes, oi mesebemes, that maybe you could be miyabim, the tzara machzik rishasa. That's that discussion, which was not resolved. Now the Gemara brings a similar type of discussion. Amar b'chir bar Abba, Rabbi Yechon b'ay. Rabbi Yechon had the question. He said, "Hamachzik grishasa mishanisis." Again, the same question. If someone remarries his divorcee after she had been married to another man, tzarasa mahu. Again, what's the halacha? He's asking the same question. Can you do yibum to the tzara of a machzik grishasa? So Amalei Rabami said to him, "What do you mean? But tibay lachi gufa. Why don't you ask the question to the machzik grishasa herself? Maybe you could do yibum to her." The brother, what's the problem to the brother if his brother violated a prohibition of marrying the woman that he had divorced, but she's not an erva. Why couldn't he do yibum with the woman that he had been machzik rishasi? So that he said no. He guvalei kamibayli. Regarding the machzik rishasi herself, that I didn't have a question at all. Because there are many kalvachemah, we say a kalvachemah. And that is, if bimutrla, if regarding the one that she was permitted to, in other words, that she had a standing relationship already, meaning her first husband had just passed away, really it was asura, it was really forbidden for him to be married to her. Meaning, when he had first remarried her for the second time, he was violating an isser of machzik rishasa. So he violated an isser, but really she was forbidden to him. Now, when he finally dies, and then it comes to a case of Yibum for his brother, so then Ba'asr La, so then for someone that she's always generally forbidden to, meaning their brother's wife, you're not allowed to marry, so if a Yavam, like Kalshigan, isn't it a Kavul Chaymer to say that of course it's going to be forbidden? In other words, that of course you cannot go ahead and do Yibum, that I never entertain. Which is a svara of saying, if look, for the one that it's mutter, meaning the original husband, this woman is forbidden to him, because she's mafsid grishas, and the one that's forbidden to him, which is the brother's, his brother, which would make her his brother's wife, which is an heir of the Torah, for sure she cannot be permitted to. My question was regarding the tzara. And the question was, based on this kavul chaymer, and that is, mi olam kavul chaymer, do we say that this kavul chaymer of bif, b'mutullah she's asr, this mafsid grishas, so for sure she's asr, to someone that she's generally forbidden to, is that such a strong kavul chaymer to say that she's even lemitchi tzara, that she could even reject her tzara? In other words, just like an erva, that you, not only can you not marry an erva, but even the tzara's erva becomes forbidden. So here also where this woman, this machzik grishasi, is for sure, based on the kavul chaymer, forbidden to the yavam, would that also say that she's so forbidden that she even exempts her tzara? Or maybe not. What does it have to do, this kavul chaymer, with the tzara, since she's not an erva? You could do yibum to the tzara. That was my question. But I definitely didn't ask it regarding the machzik rishasi herself. That's one version. As we had in the previous discussion, the Gemara brings a second version. Nachum Yitzchak Masni Hachi, he quoted this discussion as follows. Amram B'chiyah Bar Abba, Boyer B'yechen Rechen asked the following question. Hamasik Gerishasi Mishnisis Mahu. If someone remarries his divorcee that had married someone else, now what's the halacha regarding her herself? His version has it asking regarding the machzik rishasi. Somebody, Rabbami says, why are you asking regarding the machzik rishasai to say, can the Yavam do Yibam with her or not? What do you mean? But Tibaylich Tzarasa. You should ask it even regarding the Tzara. Maybe you cannot even do Yibam, not just with the machzik rishasai, which you're entertaining, maybe yes or no. You should ask even regarding the co-wife. Maybe even the co-wife you cannot do Yibam for. So that Rabbi Yechon says, no, Tzarasa like Mibayli. Regarding the co-wife of the machzik rishasai, for sure I didn't have a question that you could do Yibam with her. Because the kavul chaymer of saying why would we say the machzik rishasi is forbidden to the yavam also is not strong enough to make her into like a ervis type of status to then reject her tzara from yibum. Of course, you could do yibum with the kohath. My question was regarding the machzik rishasi herself. My, and that is as follows: mi olam kavul chaymer is this kavul chaymer, which is a kavul chaymer, which is type of a logic which says that if something that's kal, meaning the husband who's married to her, is really forbidden to her, so the brother, who generally that's an erva, a brother's wife, is chmor chamer, for sure he can't go ahead and marry his brother's machzik grishasi. But is that kavul chaymer so strong that even b'mokam mitzvah, that we'd apply it, you're right, generally of course he can't marry her, but in a mokam a mitzvah of yibum, would we even say there, Eloy, or maybe there we won't say the kavul chaymer? You're right, generally based on the svar of kavul chaymer, we would say that she's forbidden to him. But maybe when even we see a regular erva of Eshes Ach gets put by the wayside to do yibum, maybe this kavul chaymer would not be strong enough to not allow the yavam to do yibum with the machzik rishasi. So now we continue on top of Yud Beis and Alf. So Amalei said to him, Tinisua, we actually learned this in that Mishnah, which we quoted before, on the Memdal and Alf, which this answer is actually going back on, Rashi says, on both versions of what was the question of Rabbi Yechon. As we learned, the Mishnah says, achas kasher v'achas besulah. One of them was kosher, one of them was pasul. So we said this regarding the previous discussion, which was asking the same point of the tzara of the machzik rishasai. So it says, you have two yavamis, two co-wives. If you're doing chalitza, do it to the invalid one. If you're doing yibam, then you can do it even to the kosher one. So my ksher, my psulo. So what does it mean, one's kasher, one's pasul? Ilem ksher, ksher la'alma. If it means kasher for the world, meaning that she's not a divorcee. So then psulo, and psulo, psulo alma means to say that she was already divorced, she can't marry in kahanim. And that's what it would mean. But kivan del de chazia, as we said, that's far before, but since she's fit for him, so meaning both yavamas are fit for the yavam, so manafkele, meaning what would it make a difference to him? Why would he have to pick chalitza with the psulo? Why couldn't he do chalitza with the ksher? Elalav must be ksher ksher lay. Means to say the one that's kosher is kosher to him. Psula psula lay. Invalid means invalid to him. Now, my new, what is that a reference to? That's machzik rishasi. Why would she be pasul to him? And only to him? Is because it's the machzik rishasi where we give a definition of an erva. It's like a type of a tumma which it says regarding the machzik rishasi in the pasik. So she's considered the pasul one to him. And then, therefore, we said, v'ektani imhoi miyab miyam l'ksher. So for the pasul one, you do chalitza. But for the kosher one, we said, you could do yibum. So therefore, we see, which resolves both versions of the question of Yechanan, that the machzik rishasai, it's clear from here that she is aser. The tzara is clear that she's mutter, and therefore it resolves whether he's asking it regarding machzik rishasai, can you do yibum? Or was he asking regarding the tzara? Either way, we're answering both points over here where we see that the ksheri you could do yibum with, and the machzik rishasai herself you cannot do yibum with. Nothing more rejects the raya. Like, ksheri li alma. Psula li'alma. It's not talking about him where the apostle one is the machzik rishasai who's apostle to him and the kosher one's not her co-wife. But it's actually talking about if they're kosher to the world, meaning to kahanim, if they were once divorced or not. Now, the comment this that you said, kim de dechazia, my nafke le'mena, what do you mean? Why should it make a difference to him? Okay, so she can't go ahead and marry a koya now because up until now she was valid. Why should it make a difference to me? Why can't I do chalitza to the ksheira? That the Gemara says no, because Mishum the Rabbi Yosef, the Rabbi Yosef, contra the Rabbi. This is where Rabbi teaches us this lesson that a person should not spill out his pit of water if other ones need it. And that's why it could be Ksheir al-Alma, Psul al-Alma, therefore it has no reflection on the question we're asking regarding a tsar of Machzik Rishasim. So the Gemara says, Tosh Makama here, as we had in the previous discussion, trying to bring a raya from the following brisa. It says, a Machzik Rishasim Mishanissis, if someone remarries his divorcee, he b'tzarasa chelatzes, haran ar tsar chelatzes. Now, as the Gemara had pointed out before, he b'tzarasa chelatzes, can you entertain that means har and her co-wife? Why would you do chelitzes to both of them? Ela'im, rather you have to say, means el oihi oitzarasa, that you do chalitza either to her or to the tzara. But one thing you see is that it resolves the question that you see both of them are asa to have yibum done with. And therefore, definitely answers the question regarding the machzik rishasa herself that she's asa, but it even answers according to the other version that even the tzara is going to be asa in yibum because it says you have to do chalitza either to her or the tzara. And I think Gemara rejects that too because of lav terutza kumataratzis law. Don't you have to amend that braisa anyway because he said it doesn't make sense? So Taratzachi, you could amend it this way, he chaylatzas, for the machzik rishasa, you have to do chalitza, and that will at least resolve that part of the questioning, where the machzik rishasa, you cannot do yibum with. However, regarding the other version of the question, regarding the element of bitzara, that you could say that you would amend it to say tzarasa eichaletzas emesebemes. Regarding the tzara, you could either do chalitza or yibum, and therefore that wouldn't resolve that version of the question regarding the tzara of the machzik rishasa, if the halacha is that she could do yibum or not. That is not resolved from the rise we tried bringing.